This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All righty, moving along today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. After Jeremy and Joe talked a lot about, I think, what we have to keep talking about today, which is this James Cook story and where everything is heading here, where it is now. Not really sure. I mean, this is kind of new territory for us, right? I thought about this today, like I've said for a long time, and now we've lived in this age of social media for quite a few years where, and you know me, I've said this many times, and it is very true what I believe, that we need to, and I try to, and I think in general, not take social media behavior as, you know, something really super serious and try to read into it too much. But when you actually have a statement put out, like Myles Garrett, I want to be traded, obviously that's a statement, or like James Cook put out the other day, 15 mil and pinned it, I think it's pretty clear. But other actions on social media, I think we tend to read a little too much into things sometimes. You could be laying around one night, throw on Instagram or X, and an athlete tweets something like, I thought you loved me, right? Let's just say that. I thought you loved me. And all of a sudden, oh my God, he's talking about the organization. Well, how do you know? It could be about like somebody in their family or their friend long time ago. I don't know. It could be a song lyric, right? We got to be careful about doing this stuff. But I do think it's notable and we have to bring it up because this is how athletes communicate these days, especially younger athletes. I mean, James Cook is, I think he's 25. I want to get his exact age here. He's 25. Yep. Turned 25 in September. You know, he's part of this, you know, generation now, and I think we're even years even older than him are, of how this is really their main form of communication in a lot of ways. And it's totally understandable. It's taken adjusting for people like me, which is fine, but I cover him and cover the team and the league and sports in general and all that, and you have to pay attention to this stuff. And I think on the heels of what he put out on his Instagram live story, and then what he did today, which I'm going to get to Josh in a second, catch us up on this. I think we have to have at least our antennas up, right? But I also think that a lot of this can be just kind of what happens. And we did have one instance like this, I think a couple years ago, when this was with Stephon Diggs, but I'll get into that in a second. Generally, it hasn't been with Bills players or, you know, athletes here in Buffalo. Of course, not Sabres necessarily, but we just haven't had it with Bills players. And what I mean is scrubbing of photos, right? Deleting references. What exactly happened here? So, Josh, so this is what James Cook did, right? Fill me in again. I have to rely on you for stuff like this because I don't pay as much attention to that stuff. Maybe I should more sometimes. I just think you can really go down rabbit holes, so I don't as much, and then it catches my attention when I'm told about it. So what exactly happened?
Oh, yeah, you can definitely get down a rabbit hole, and I might have done that here. But last night, Someone tweeted out, if you think James Cook ain't worth $15 million, you must have had your head dropped through a dropped through a table first. You get the picture. Then James Cook retweets that and says, with 4 100 emojis, which basically means, this is great. This is right.
No, so by the way, and there's no reading into that. He is basically just commenting and saying, you're right about this.
Exactly. Like
that, there's definitely no reading in. So last night, that's right. That's the X behavior. That's the Twitter behavior, which is, hey, he's agreeing and saying 100% I'm worth $15 million. No doubt about that.
Exactly.
Clear as day.
The next thing, though, that happened last night as well, or it looks like it happened last night, he unfollowed the Bills on Instagram and deleted all of his pictures with the Bills and changed his profile picture on Instagram, which used to be him in a Bills uniform. Again, reading way too far into it, but it does make a difference a little bit. It does, you know,
open your eyes a little. On the heels of everything, you of course have to pay attention, right? I would also say this. We have had lots of stories of athletes doing this over the years, right? Of unfollowing, scrubbing, whatever. Sometimes it comes out, and I think this happened with Stephon Diggs. I'm not positive, but this was a thing with Stephon Diggs a couple of years ago, wasn't it? In Buffalo, where like all of a sudden he deleted all these, you know, Bills photos, and then someone pointed out, actually, he kind of does this every year where he resets like all his photos and he's into fashion. Like, you just don't know why. But I do think we have to pay attention to it. What does it mean? I'm not sure. I will also tell you, I think it's just sometimes what some people do, just kind of to show like, doesn't mean he doesn't want to be a Bill. See, this is the danger part of the road that I don't want to go down. And I'm not suggesting, as some of you are out there like, yeah, I didn't think he meant that anyway. But there are definitely people listening right now. There are definitely people paying attention to this social media behavior who are like, oh my God, that means he doesn't want to be in Buffalo. He hates the organization. Him and Brandon Bean had a falling out. They've been discussing a contract and there's no way. And he's been told. Look, all those things are certainly possible, you know, in some realm. I would tell you that slow down, take a breath. These things take time. And a lot of times it's just kind of like what you do now, what some of the athletes do now, some of the players do now, people in these situations. Who did it a few years ago? Didn't Kyler Murray do this? This was like first ones I remember a couple years ago, right?
That one happened like right around all the stuff where it's like, oh, he's playing too much Call of Duty and all that was going on. Like that was a big one that happened, but nothing came of it. So like that's the thing. It's like these things happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. I would tell you this. This is what I think. Let's say what we know. What we know is James Cook's contract has one more year remaining. That's the other thing we have to keep reminding people. He is under contract next year. The Bills do not have to give him a contract extension, do anything with his contract, and they still own his rights for a year. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't get ugly if they don't do anything with it. I'm just here to tell you that what we know is he has 1 year left on a deal that's paying him over $5 million next year, the last year of his rookie deal. What we also know is his brother, Dalvin Cook, tweeted out he thinks his brother's worth $20 million. And then James pinned his own comment, $15 million is what he wrote. And then on the heels of last night, when he goes 100, 100, 100, saying, yep, I agree, I'm worth $15 million. We know that he wants to be paid in whatever shape or form, how much, that kind of money, right? Like whatever we're looking at, however massages, we know he wants to get paid. What we don't know is what's happening behind the scenes. What we don't know is what his plans are if things don't go the way he wants. What is the way he wants to go, though? Does he need to get something done now? Does he want to? Is that what his representatives are saying? What are the Bills' thoughts on this? There's a lot of things that have to be sorted out. What we also know is there's like 8 months before the season starts, right? There's a month before free agency, which actually is exactly a month. It's a month from yesterday. Free agency starts March 12th, actually. We are within a month from free agency. We have a draft coming up a month and a half after that, end of April. You have, in that time period, you'll have volunteer, you know, workouts where guys show up and do workouts. Then you're going to have OTAs and minicamp. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of little, you know, markings along the way here before we get to anything really substantial where this comes to a head. It could come before that. It doesn't ever have to come out. It doesn't have to come to that. It's something that keeps us going right now in the offseason. We're going to keep talking about this story. until either there's some sort of resolution, or maybe, maybe we'll even get to the NFL scouting combine in 11 days. Brandon Bean speaks in 12 days, the 25th. Brandon Bean's going to speak on Tuesday, the 25th, in Indianapolis at the NFL scouting combine. That could be the day where we hear from Brandon Bean, and he kind of, it could go one of two ways. He's going to be asked about this, and there could be one of two reactions, I think, which is, you know, extreme of, yeah, I mean, we have no plans on extending him. I don't think he would say that, but I guess there could be things he could say which makes you go, oh, this is going to get ugly, whatever that could be. Or he could say things that make you go, okay, they're going to work this out, whatever it is. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, he's going to be complimentary, James. He's going to say what he always does, which is we never negotiate contracts through the media. We love James Cook. We'd love to have him here long term. You know, we'll see how things work out. We'll talk with his representatives, just like I will with other guys whose contracts are coming up. Those kinds of things will be said, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form by Brandon Bean. But we're going to keep talking about this, and that's going to be, like, that's the next benchmark. So if you're kind of keeping a James Cook off-season calendar, what's happening here, and looking for times where things will get talked about, resolved, and dissected, the next thing, really, other than his own behavior, him going on any sort of live podcast, broadcast, Instagram story, whatever it is, or him tweeting out something, other than any of that doing himself, the next thing is going to be Brandon Bean speaking at the Combine, and Sean McDermott, by the way. McDermott's going to speak on Monday the 24th in the late afternoon. Brandon Bean on Tuesday the 25th in the early afternoon. So we'll hear from both of them and what they think. So there's a lot to be resolved here. I am curious what you think about where this is going, though, because this is the first time it's happened contractually. Now, when it was with Stephon Diggs, it wasn't a contract thing, right? I mean, yes, there were some contractual things going on with Stephon Diggs, and they've adjusted his contract. But a couple of years ago, when all the stuff started happening after he had been with the Bills for a couple of years, and, you know, Stephon was in Buffalo for, what, 4 years, 20 through 23, and really after year two, maybe after year three, I guess, was where it really came to a head, and then he went into year four and played that out. But after year two, stuff started coming out, and it was, okay, does Stephon want to be in Buffalo? Does Buffalo want Stephon Diggs? That's when stuff started to percolate a little bit. That was really more about, I think, personality, you know, what his relationship, Josh Allen, the organization. It wasn't really contractual. That never got to that point. I mean, again, some things with his contract, but it was never anything like that with him. This is contractual. It's kind of the opposite, because I don't think anyone doubts. I know I don't, and I talk to James Cook, like, in the locker room and at practices, after practices, whatever, after the season. James Cook loves being in Buffalo. That's everything that he's given off, everything he said. I don't have any reason to doubt him. He loves being in Buffalo. He wants to be in Buffalo. He loves being a part of the organization. And for the Bills' part, they love James Cook. We know that. They want him to be here. They love him here. Love him as part of the organization. The Stephon Diggs stuff a couple of years ago, that was the question, right? The question was that stuff. Does he want to be a part of us? Do we want him a part of us? Is it better for us to be together than apart, or apart than together, right? That's not the question with James Cook. With Stephon, it was not how much are we paying him. There were some tweaks along the way that never got to there. This is simply contractual, and that's why it's different here, because we haven't had anything like this in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's time. They've done a really great job. Brandon Bean, we can go through his draft picks, and you can tell me about his misses, and I can tell you about the other ones that were hits, and we can do all that. One thing that he has done a great job of is never allowing this to happen. Now, part of the reason is because I think fairly you could say he's overpaid for a few guys. And maybe that's why he overpays, to make sure you don't get into an ugly situation where you have to basically say it's one extreme or the other. So he overpays a little bit, take care of them a little bit early, get ahead of it. But the reward there is sometimes you overpay at the moment, and then you have somebody for a little bit, you know, better of a price a little bit later, which could happen, right? But he never allows that to happen. And he hasn't, I should say, allowed that to happen. Now it is. And this is going back now. Sports fans in general, I think, are like this anyway. I think we're living in a different era now where there's a much, much, much more support for the athlete to get paid. When I was growing up, I mean, it was not like that. There were, you would not find many fans who would side with the athlete when it came to getting paid. It was all about basically shut up, do your job. You're playing a game. You're getting paid $1 million a year, like literally $1 million a year. Think about that for a second, Josh. When Jim Kelly came to Buffalo in 1986, okay, he had played in the USFL for 3 years or 2 years, whatever, 83. When he comes to Buffalo, he's the highest paid player in the league at just over $1 million a year.
Isn't it crazy how much that changes? Like, it's so, the contrast between the best players in the league, in any league, then and now.
Yeah.
It's pennies on the dollar. Like, it's crazy to think that it used to be like that.
Right. So even then, when it's just over $1 million, because perspective, obviously, you know, different time period. When, if there was ever an athlete that was, this was Joe Cribbs, I think, for me in the 80s. Joe Cribbs, a great running back. And there's a contractual dispute between the Bills and Joe Cribbs. Ultimately, he wound up going to the USFL. He went to the Birmingham Stallions. Like, that happened. There was a contractual dispute between the Sabres and Michael Pekka. That was a really big one and a costly one. It cost Pekka a year of his career. He did not play an entire year, and it would have helped the Sabres. They wound up actually losing. That was the year, I believe, that was the year they lost in Game 7 on Darius Kasparaitis beating Dominic Hasek in Hasek's last game in Buffalo in Game 7 in overtime. The point is, like, people generally, now some people side with Pekka, I guess, because the way that thing went down, but you generally didn't get a lot of that. It was mostly always, hey, the fans would side with the organizations. It's not the case anymore. So many more people side with the players. Look what's going on in college. You still have your people who say, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're getting free educations. Yes, you have people that say that, but so many more people are like, no, pay these guys. Pay these girls, pay these kids, pay these athletes. They're bringing in so much revenue to their colleges. And you also get, no, you need to pay. Go get your bag, man. Go get it, James Cook. Go get it, Myles Garrett. Go get it, whoever. Like, that's what you get a lot more of. But I still think in Buffalo, from what I'm seeing from a lot of you, it's kind of actually shook me a little bit that we've had some calls. I've had some tweets, some calls over the last like 48 hours of people going like, he doesn't want to be here. Trade him. Draft a running back. I think people are not liking the approach, right? That's what it is. I think if James Cook wants $15 million, that's what he wants, right? Maybe he wants 12 and he's putting it at 15. If James Cook wants $15 million a year, and his approach, though, is, hey, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to go about my business. I'm going to talk with Brandon Bean at the Combine, or my agent is, and we never hear any of that. And then all of a sudden it comes out later that, hey, he wanted that money. I think the reaction is different. Because he's being public about it, I think in a lot of ways he's hurting himself with the fan base. I'm not saying people don't like James Cook, don't want James Cook. I think this is so new and it's not playing well in Buffalo. And I want to know if that's true from you. It's not just about the money, right? Like, there's two parts to this. It's the money and is he worth it? And do you pay a running back? That's where I'm focused. Like, how do you do this mechanically? How do you build the roster? I like the whole thing about roster building and playing GM. Like, there's two parts to this, I think, now with the James Cook story. The first part, to me, is the more important part. How do you manage this, have this really nice player at a position that you have kind of treated like you don't need to pay that much, but now he comes along and you know how important he is to you? That's a lot of money. By the way, call me up on this, 803-0550. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I have open phone lines. We're going to talk about this and whatever else you want here for the next 40 minutes, because I don't have a guest until 11 o'clock. I'll tell you my guests in a second. I got rambling on this, which is great, but also didn't even tell you who my guests are. I'm going to do that in a minute because we got a couple really good guests to talk about other teams and their situations coming up as well. But 803-0550, like the two parts of this are the money aspect, the roster building aspect. But I think I'm reading from some of you and hearing from some of you that like you don't like the approach. And that's also maybe seeping into your thought about what they should do, right? I try not to let that happen because, again, I'm going to go back to what I started with at the very beginning of this. I think you have to understand this is just how a lot of people operate now. This is how a lot of athletes operate now. This is how they communicate. They grew up in a world that a lot of us, me and you, did not grow up in where we didn't communicate through our social media handles. And social media is great to me. I mean, listen, I'm patting myself here and I'm telling you, like, I'm very proud of the brand that I built and the following I built. And I have close to 200,000 followers on X. It's a great way for me to communicate. I am not banging on it whatsoever. It is a great way to communicate. But it's not how I grew up communicating everything, all my thoughts. That is how a lot of people now grew up communicating most of their thoughts. And for right or wrong, whatever you think about that, that's what athletes are doing now. And I think that the approach that James Cook is taking here, I think is hurting himself and his own fan base in a lot of ways. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm just hearing a lot of people and seeing a lot of people going, screw him. You know, he wants to do this. You know, he's not worth it. And that might simply be because of the approach, not just because you don't think he's actually worth $15 million. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Aiden in Orchard Park first up on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Give me 1 second. Hold on. I am going to pull you up here, Aiden. I have to restart my computer. Why don't you do it for me, Josh, and I'll have him for you. There you go. Go ahead, Aiden.
Hey, Sal. I love James Cook. I think he's been great for the Bills, but just kind of looking at how the Bills are built with a great O-line and Josh Allen, seeing Saquon's deal too, I think I could kind of pass at $15 million a year. I think you can draft running backs like that too. Kind of just my thoughts. Love to hear you say thanks.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you on the money, right? Like, I'm not about paying James Cook $15 million a year. I think that's a lot of money. I think it's too much money for that position. The franchise tag this year, if you were to franchise tag a running back this year, it's going to be about $13 million. I mean, if you wait a year, that number is probably $15 million. So wait a year and do it. If he blows up again, if he has another amazing season, wait a year and do it. I don't see the rush. Let's go to Brian in Hawaii. Brian, what's up, man? Aloha.
Oh, hey, Sal. Aloha. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's the way he went about doing it that I think is causing the public dissent. I think you were spot on. The combine, the agent, behind-the-scenes type thing. But I remember, I don't know if it was last year or earlier this year, where his brother got on and said, pay the man. And I think, I don't think Brandon Bean plays that public, you know, go public with your grievances. I think right. That has a lot to do with it. But I agree with the previous caller. It's the offensive line. Give James Cook $15 million, but then he gives $1 million each to the offensive linemen. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot for giving a call very early over there in Hawaii. What are they, like 8 hours behind? 3, 4, 5. I think 5. It's like 5:30 in the morning over there. So thanks for giving a call, Brian. Yeah, I agree with you. Brandon Bean does not, that's not how he likes to operate. I don't think, it'd be one thing. I'm going to say he's not happy about it, right? I don't want to speak for Brandon Bean, but I'm sure like he's seeing this going, okay, come on, like I'd rather have this behind closed doors because he says that to us all the time. He says, I don't negotiate through the media. Let's go to Harry in Canada. By the way, we're back on in Canada on the AM and PM shows if you watch through YouTube. This show is not on YouTube. People have asked me why. We just haven't done that yet through Odyssey. Maybe down the road we will. But if you're in Canada and you haven't been able to listen to us through the app, you can do it now on YouTube on the AM show and the PM show. Jeremy and Joe show up in the Bulldog. But Harry's in Canada and he wants to talk. What's up, buddy?
Hey, love you, Sal. Look, a couple things. First of all, I think James Cook's being, his brother has to do something with what's going on. Cause this kid has been overall very quiet. It doesn't speak a lot in the interviews, etc. So for him to start making his, I won't say demands, but his comments on social media, it's got to be coming from Dalvin, number one. Number two, I don't want my ticket prices. I mean, they're already going to be going up. So the more we negotiate and we know about it, it just makes us as season ticket holders get upset because our ticket prices, our ticket costs are going to go up. So I don't like that. Is he worth 15? Probably not, but he's 12. But keep it out of social media. That's the part I don't like.
Yeah, I think that's it, Harry. That's what I think it is. I get this from a few people here. I want to read you a couple things here. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans, and it is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online, northtownkia.com. First one, this is from Mayor Jeff. Mayor Jeff, he actually sent me a DM and said, Jordan Poyer wiped his Bills photos before re-signing a year later. Thank you. But he also became a free agent. There's the difference, though, right? Like, Jordan Poyer was actually a free agent on the market. James Cook is a Bills player under contract for another year, but thank you. I appreciate that. Excuse me. Still trying to just kind of get over that last hurdle of as sick as I was last week, but we're doing pretty well. Nick says, Cook is going to have to decide what he wants more, a championship or the money. Why does he have to decide that? I'm not really sure. Do you mean he can't get paid and win a championship in Buffalo? They're still right there knocking on the door for a... Who has been overpaid when re-signing his own draft picks, asked Colton. I think people would say Dawson Knox has a contract that the Bills is overpaid. Whether you agree or disagree, I think that's one. Who else? Who has he re-signed? Who has he overpaid to re-sign? I'll have to go through. I'm sure there might be one or two that you could come up with, you think about, but I think that has been, I think that's probably one of them. I don't know. What did Reggie Gilliam get a couple of years ago? He kind of re-signed. Tyler Bass re-signed a contract a couple of years ago that people think that is. So there's your answer, Colton. I mean, I could probably go through a couple, maybe others through the years, but I think people would give you those answers. Let's take a timeout here. I got a lot of people on hold. We're going to get to you in the next timeout, after the next timeout, because we don't have any guests coming up until 11 o'clock. And then when we do, all right, check this out. Pete Sweeney is going to join me. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we ask what it's like in Kansas City, life is like after losing the Super Bowl, and what the 2025 outlook holds, especially in the offseason, Travis Kelce and that. Pete Sweeney at 11 a.m., and then Joe Goodberry, who covers the Bengals at 11:30. They got another player who now wants out of Cincinnati and requested a trade. They're at least another player that in the AFC North who plays defense, like Myles Garrett, requesting a trade, but now going hand in hand with other players in Cincinnati who have contractual issues who may be on their way out. That's the best way I wanted to say it. We'll take a timeout here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
That's James Cook's older brother, Dalvin Cook, good running back in the league for quite a few years. Attended some of the Bills games this year. Saw him on the sidelines before a couple of games. And he's been his brother's number one proponent in all of this, right? He's the one that tweeted out the 20 mil. And you hear him right there talking about, you know, locking him up. Sal Capaccio with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I want to read another tweet that came my way because this is the other perspective. I really like this. This is the fascinating part to me. This is living the dream on Twitter. I'm not going to read it. All right. Living the Dream says, the approach doesn't bother me at all. I think it's more the position he plays when I say just trade him. He's a damn good running back, too. There you go. He's like, I don't care about what approach he's taking. I'm not paying him that. I want to trade him. I just think it's fascinating. You have so much. He doesn't even care about the approach. I think, though, that is seeping into a lot of people. This is what's the fascinating part to me. There's the, is he worth it part? And then it's the, well, he's going about it this way, so what do I think about that? And is that impacting if you think he's worth it, actually? David in Tonawanda is up next. What do you think, David?
All right, Jenna. Thank you, Seth. Thank you for taking my call. Spoke yesterday with one of the gentlemen yesterday. I honestly think, okay, he's asking for 15. Now you got his brother basically in his ear. Like, okay, I think you're worth 20. If anything, going into this year, now this is going to be your first contract after your rookie contract. You played phenomenal for us. Your stats are going up. You're looking great for us. But at the same exact time, I can see, okay, you want 15. We'll give you half of what you're looking for, and then see exactly how the next couple years basically look on how you're on how you're progressing. After a couple years, okay, maybe go ahead and lock him up, seal up.
Why would he go for that, though? Why would he agree to that? He doesn't have to sign that.
For what?
You know what I mean? Your approach is we'll give you half. No, that's it. You're saying, well, okay, we'll give you half. Well, he doesn't have to agree to that. He could say, no, I'll just play out my last year and become a free agent.
Right. But at the same exact time, if he doesn't want to leave here, it's like, okay,
right,
we'll just play it
out. Of course.
If he doesn't want to leave, just play it out and then see exactly in a couple years exactly where – are they going to give him what he basically deserves? Like,
if he plays it out, he'll be a free agent and someone will pay him more than the Bills. And then he'll go. You can't just say, hey, we're going to give you this and you're taking it. Like, the player has some control here, too. The Bills have more control. They have way more leverage. They could franchise tag him. Thanks for the call, David. Andrew in Lockport. What do you think, Andrew?
Hey, Sal, first time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, I just think from a younger fan's point of view, social media is the new age, as you were saying. It's got to be kind of an attention grab. I mean, anyone in that position, you got to maximize your profits for yourself. So I think he's just trying to maximize his profits and get the full value that he thinks he's worth. And I really just think it's basically a social media grab and that people are kind of overreacting.
As I said earlier, and I want to make sure I'm clear on this, like, I don't care if players express themselves in social media. It is the form of doing it. And when you say attention grabbing, it is partly like that. There's no doubt. But I think because this is how people communicate, we have to kind of take them, you know, seriously in a lot of these realms, right? That's what's the tricky part for me, Andrew, right? You never know what is like to be. How to take it seriously, or if it's just something to put out there and it's, as you say, kind of attention. I don't know how I want to say it, like, you know, negotiating tactic, right? Almost like that, like put this certain number out there. Anyway, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening. Don't be a stranger. Who is this person who, I just want to read this report. Contributor at NBC Sports Edge. Kevin Collard. I don't know if this person has any actual like relevance in legitimacy, but I will just, since it's, they have the NBC and NBC Sports Edge in their bio, maybe says, per source, the Commanders, Lions, Bucks, and Bills have all called the Browns about the availability of Myles Garrett and were all told no. It was also revealed that Andrew Berry, Browns GM, audibly chuckled at one of the trade offers. Okay. Well, whatever, it could be anything, but Commanders, Lions, Bucks, and Bills. It does make sense, those four teams, but I mean, I would actually think many more teams would have called about Myles Garrett, but that is what this person, Kevin Collard, tweeted. And again, I have no idea if he's legitimate. I do know my buddy Ryan Burr is legitimate. So Ryan Burr and I went to Syracuse together and we did a little bit of college radio together. I've actually had him on the radio station here, but it's been quite a while. He went on. He's had a really great career in media, and he worked in different markets. I think it was in Houston, maybe. I have to remember for sure. But now he's been lately mostly at the Golf Channel, and he went to the Golf Channel, I should say. Now he's working for the Big Ten Network doing some college basketball. And the reason I tell you this in the background, he's legitimate, and he tweeted earlier today something very interesting. He said the Steelers have made inquiries to the Jags about a trade for QB Trevor Lawrence. This is directly from the horse's mouth in the Jags organization. This is crazy that he wrote that. It's kind of funny. I also think Ryan might have grew up a Steelers fan, if I remember right. But either way, so maybe he's also kind of like poking around in that. I think he lives down in Florida. He said they would be, what was the other part of this? He said they would deal. This was oddly specific. Ryan wrote, Ryan Burr, at Ryan Burr, by the way, 2 R's on Twitter. Steelers would deal this year's number one and number two. But with draft in Pittsburgh next year, I'd be very surprised if next year's number one is even on the table. That would be interesting. We're not giving you our number one because the draft is here. I get that from a PR standpoint. But if that's something you want to do to make a deal happen, you almost have to kind of do it, right? But that's what he tweeted. And I guess it wouldn't surprise me. New regime. New coaching staff. Who knows if Liam Cohen wants to work with Trevor Lawrence and thinks he can. And, you know, they just gave him a big contract. They don't even have a GM yet, though. Who are you calling over there? Calling the owner? They don't even have a GM. Let's go to Tim in South Carolina. What's up, Tim?
Yeah, hey, Sal. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to chime in about the James Cook thing. I think you hit the nail on the head when you opened up the show. I don't think it's twofold, right? It's the money that people don't view. I think that $15 million is a lot per year for a running back. I think they could structure it in a way that might look like that fat number, but also make sense for the team. So I think there is a deal that could get done. But I don't know. I'm 31 years old and just going about his way of scrubbing the social media and doing all that stuff. I don't think that that's the way that it should be done. I know that it's kind of a new way and age, but I don't want to sound like the old guy in the room because I'm not. But
yeah,
just,
I know.
So it kind of rubs me and other fans, obviously, in the wrong way. But on the flip side of that, I really like where the Bills are at position-wise because I think that they have, like you said, they have all the leverage here. And if not for nothing, but James Cook, his trade value might not ever be higher than it is right now. And he's now letting teams know that what he's kind of expecting. So I think the Bills, kind of like the Myles Garrett situation, might be fielding some calls from some teams who wouldn't have called before this all came out. I don't know.
Interesting.
I think the Brandon Bean does what he normally does, which is, hey, here's our value for you. If you think that you can kind of get it on the open market, like, you know, do your thing. So just want to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good call, Tim. And I think, Tim, I'll even back up what you said a little bit with, I think it hits different in Buffalo when, you know, this is a different, we're a different city here, right? Than a lot of these other bigger markets. Buffalo's one of, if not the smallest market in the NFL, right? Whatever it is, first market, second smallest, you know, behind Green Bay, I guess. When you have a player who goes about it this way, I think there's always fan bases and fans in every fan base. It's like, I don't really like it. I think here it speaks even louder to, in a negative way, to the fan base here. Because it's like, look, like, we are so insulated. We love you. You give us a love back. And you're always supposed to have this incredible, loving relationship back and forth. And when you see a player scrubbing and not having, I don't want to, it's almost like the player's disassociating himself from the fan base. And he doesn't have to be doing that. But I think that's the perception from people, right? And that doesn't work here. Even more so than it doesn't work in a lot of places. Right. So that's why I think you're right, Tim. And I'll bring it back on here. But you know what I mean? Right. I think Buffalo's different from there. And it hurts and it hits different here. And people are quicker to say, no, you don't want to be a part of me, then we don't want you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too tight of a community. I mean, I was Syracuse born and raised before I moved down here because I like to golf 9 months out of the year. But no, I think you hit the nail on the head, the community and the players. I mean, you even see, you know, what Josh Allen does with the Children's Hospital and the videos that come out with him MVP, it's definitely different here. You know, if you want to make all that money and you know, chase the bag, you know, you can do it at other organizations. But the moment you start kind of doing all this tic-tac back and forth and stuff like that, you're going to kind of lose the fan base. And, the Bills are above having to keep the marquee name player guys. I mean, you got 17. Let's let the chips fall where they may and let's roll.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Great phone call. Enjoy your golf down there, by the way. All right. We're going to take a timeout now. We'll come back here, and when we do, we'll have a little bit more on this. Yeah, you know what? I also want to give some love to something he just brought up and some of the videos going around. There was that one with Slick Rick. If you haven't seen it, just want to touch on that and what a great job that was. We come back here on WGR. But a lot more of your phone calls on the way. When we get to the top of the hour, Pete Sweeney is going to join me. He covers the Kansas City Chiefs. What's their offseason outlook look like? Got a lot more to get to here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh just told me today is World Radio Day. What does that mean? Do I have to like give my radio a like some sort of present or something? The finder? Do you even have a radio in your house anymore? Like an actual radio?
The closest thing I have is a smart speaker or just a regular speaker that I play.
So the answer is no.
No, yeah. Oh, wait. No. I have a record player, but that's not a radio.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's good. You don't have anything, though, that has an actual radio dial on it in your house?
I do at my parents' house, just not at my apartment. It's an old Coca-Cola radio. It looks like a Coca-Cola cooler, but you open it up and it's got like a cassette tape player in there. It's got a radio dial. It's the coolest thing ever. I don't know if it still works. It's been sitting in my parents' basement for like 15 years, but
I don't think I do, but I could look. I'm kind of a hoarder and a saver in a lot of ways, and I mean over the years I'll throw things out, but I might have like an old Walkman laying around. Actually, I'm not. You know what a Walkman is?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, those are cool. I've always wanted get one of those because I like collecting old nostalgic things. Yeah. Like I think those are cool.
Yeah, I might have something like that, but an actual old radio. We do have like one for Christmas. You turn it on, but it's literally got the same station, which is. You can listen to Santa here or Christmas music over here. It's not a real radio, but it looks like it. It's set up like a real radio, but you turn it on. It's all Christmassy. Yep. You know what I mean? So something like that. It's National Radio Day. It's also, I believe, the 45th anniversary of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics in Lake Placid. It is amazing that Lake Placid, New York, held the Olympics. Think about that for a second. Lake Placid, New York. Held the Olympics.
Yeah, it's the February 13th is when they opened in 1980.
I saw it because the 1980 Miracle Hockey Team Twitter account tweeted it out. And they have a great picture. Go check it out. 1980 Miracle Team on Twitter says, on this date 45 years ago, we participated in the opening ceremonies of the 13th Winter Olympics in Lake Placid. Such an incredible memory to kick off the Olympics. The picture is awesome, by the way. Look at the picture with the Adirondack Mountains, the confetti, and the athletes. It looks amazing. That's a great picture. It's Lake Placid, New York. It's not New York City. It's not LA. It's not even Buffalo. It's Lake Placid. It's unbelievable. So I've never been there. I've always said I wanted to go there. Bulldog has been there many times. He's talked about how great it is. You can go there now and see where they did the ski jumping and they played hockey and all the different things. They did like speed skating in the middle of the downtown area, basically, which downtown is like, I don't know, like Hamburg Village or something. I'm not trying to be, like, that's how small it is as a city. And they did, they had the Olympics there. It's unbelievable. Today was 45 years ago today that they had the opening ceremonies. And of course, we know what happened just a few weeks later, the Miracle on Ice and the United States beating the Russians.
Now tonight, U.S. plays Finland in the
Four
Nations face-off.
Oh, and by the way, that's who they had to actually win to win the gold medal. Beat them.
Did you know the story?
Didn't beat Russia to win the gold.
Right, but Joe actually explained this morning there was a format in that Olympics alone where if the U.S. lost that game, there was a chance that Russia could still win the gold, even though they had lost to the U.S. Hmm. It was some weird.
I didn't know that part.
It was like instead of a playoff, it was more so a point system. Where the team with the most points won the gold medal and then so on and so forth down the line. So just because they lost, Finland doesn't win the silver. They actually placed fourth. They didn't even win a medal, which is just wild to me. Like, I had no idea that's what it was like.
I do know if they lost, they might not have won a medal at all, right? The United States in that game?
Right, yeah.
So very interesting. Much different. And then last night we got a great hockey game. What a great overtime that was between Canada and Sweden. And obviously, Canada wins it in the end in overtime. Crosby's amazing in international play. He gets the player of the game. They still do a player of the game in all these international competitions. Before we get to Pete Sweeney, I said I wanted to talk about this. I'm just going to mention it. Matt Bove and I did a Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. check it out. We talk a lot about the James Cook situation, all right? It's available wherever you pod, iTunes, download it, Spotify, WGR, you know, Odyssey app, whatever. You can also go to YouTube, go to the Sal Sports YouTube page. You can watch it right there. But the first few minutes is me asking Matt and then Matt describing his interview with Slick Rick from the mailroom. It's amazing. What an interview. If you haven't seen it, it moved me. I'm emotional watching the interview with Slick Rick. He's emotional. It's just awesome. And Matt goes through the story about interviewing Slick Rick and what it was like. So go check it out. It's always game day in Buffalo. We got that. We got the James Cook situation. We got the special team situation with the new special teams coach coming in. We talked all about it. Up next, though, going to be joined by Pete Sweeney. He actually covers the Kansas City Chiefs. They have lost the Super Bowl. We know that. And now they have a lot of decisions to make and maybe some decisions that their players have to make, including Travis Kelce. What does the 2025 offseason hold for the Kansas City Chiefs? Up next here on WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Back here for the second hour of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. It's always seems like every year, maybe it's because the salary cap grows higher and we have younger GMs generally around the league who've gone playing Madden all their lives and they've had all these crazy ideas, maybe a little bit more percolating with higher level players and like Myles Garrett in this case, right? And what's going to happen with him? We're seeing these trades now in all these sports like this. Luka Doncic the other day, last week in the NBA. But a lot of things that you just don't you're not surprised about anymore. We have a lot of storylines going on in the NFL that we're all tracking right here in Buffalo. James Cook, we're talking about him right now. Now you have a couple in Cincinnati that are going on. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. Now you have another player in Cincinnati that's asking to be traded. Now we're also following what's happening in Kansas City. Travis Kelce, what's going to happen with him? His retirement possibility, is that wind up going to happen? And of course, what challenges the Chiefs are going to face in the 2025 offseason. To joining me to talk about it right now on the Wester Hotline is Pete Sweeney. Pete covers the Kansas City Chiefs over in Kansas City, and he's part of Arrowhead Pride and KSHB41. Thanks a lot for joining me here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show, Pete.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if you know this, but I have roots. Cortland State undergrad. Whoa. And a Syracuse graduate student, of course. So I'm like a lot of folks in the industry, so very familiar with Central New York and a place that is fond of my heart for sure. So great to join you guys.
Can I ask you when you were at Syracuse? Because I went to Syracuse.
I went back to school. I was originally sport management at Cortland State, and then I went back for like an intensive grad program in 13, 14.
Okay, so I'm way older than you, I think, either way, but I was there in the early 90s, actually, at Syracuse, and then I actually, and then I was down in Florida for the first 16 years of my radio career and came back here in 2011, and I've been at WGR ever since. That's really great. Where did you grow up, actually?
Downstate in Long Island, and before we get into the Chiefs stuff, which I know we can, I never get to fire this take off, but I'm ready for Billy Donovan or Mike Hopkins. Let me just say that.
All right, I love it, Mike. Oh man, we gotta have you on more often. I just had Brent Axe on. I don't know if you know Brent. He covers Syracuse basketball, Syracuse.com. Brent and I are good friends. I just had him on yesterday, and I said, look, I have been Pete for me. I grew up a hardcore Syracuse fan. Actually, my first year on campus was actually the year after they were the first two seed to ever lose to Richmond. My first year was after that. Yeah. But I remember, and I was at the 2003 national championship game in New Orleans. It was one of the greatest nights ever as a sports fan. I was there, Carmelo Anthony. I was at the team hotel. It was great. But I will say, I've become apathetic about them. That's what bothers me more than anything, Pete. It's, I don't know. I love Red Autry, but it just seems like he's just not the man for the job.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe that I've been getting, as I talk with folks. I never really had a college basketball team until I went to the school there. There was a couple great years where they got to the Final Four, and then it became this expectation, well, you'll be a 12 or 13 seed, and we'll see what they do. They're dangerous. And, now it's just been you're used to maybe doing something else on Selection Sunday, and it's not a fun place to be. And I just wonder if you need a big name to get in there. But anyway, alas, yeah, big Syracuse.
Yeah, as we transition to Kansas City, I'll also say one of my schoolmates there, who I'm very good friends with, is in Kansas City, who you've been on with, Seren Petro. We're actually very good friends, Seren and I.
Oh, so yeah. I do his show weekly, yeah. And I was on yesterday, to talk about the offseason and such. So, yeah.
I saw that. That's cool. Actually how I found you. I actually was at Seren. I went to see what Seren was talking about, and I saw that you were on there, and I needed a Chiefs guest. I said, this guy sounds pretty good. I'll bring Pete Sweeney on. So I'm glad I did
Thank
that.
You.
Thanks a lot for getting that to where we are now, because I'm glad that I brought you on, and I appreciate it. Let's talk about the Chiefs and the 2025 offseason. Before we do that, let's rewind. What's the last week and a half been like, the last several days, I should say, in Kansas City been like after the loss, as far as the fans are concerned and how people are feeling?
Yeah, I think everyone's a little shell-shocked. I think a little bit like the team, because I was down in New Orleans as well. I just think so much, and you guys know this well on the unfortunate side, but just so much has continued to go Kansas City's way, and not everything, right? Like, there were a couple years there where they were eliminated before the Super Bowl, but I mean, it had been over 1,000 days without a playoff loss. I mean, that's an incredible amount of time, and much like we're getting sick and tired of Syracuse being irrelevant, fans are just so used to everything just happening the Chiefs' way. And I think for them, it wasn't just the Super Bowl loss. It was an embarrassing effort where they didn't really even show up. This is not an unfamiliar feeling. I think that in regular seasons, there are games and weeks where all of a sudden Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, they have a dud. They had a couple near duds this year where they almost lost to teams like the Bucks and Panthers, but just found a way to gut it out. And I think maybe, as I try to reconcile that aspect of it, I feel like every year where they are able to go and do it, they have one of those duds, and it realigns them. And I don't think the loss to Buffalo qualified in a way, because it was a game until the third or fourth quarter, and Buffalo pulled away. And I think the Chiefs see them as a respectful rival, and they keep splitting all these games, of course, between the regular season and playoffs. And I think they missed realignment game where it's like we aren't necessarily incapable of losing a big game, and we need to show up and be ready. And it created this aspect where I just had this feeling even going into the game, and maybe I should have been smarter about it when it came to my bets going into the game. But it just, there was this feeling that Kansas City's just going to figure out a way. And it just wasn't good enough with a complete football team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who are good on both sides of the ball and were ready to remind me of Mike Tyson, just hit you in the mouth and see if you could respond. And Kansas City couldn't. And I think it has shocked a lot of people with just how bad it went.
Yeah, I mean, there was this feeling all year nationally. I know here in Buffalo, we would have the conversation every week, and you've heard it, right? The Chiefs just keep getting lucky,
yeah,
and they're all these things are happening at the end of games. But then you'd hear Chiefs fans, and I think in a lot of ways, rightfully so, say, well, good thing teams find a way to win. Like, Andy Reid's teams have traditionally always been able to just figure out a way at the end. He's a great coach, and obviously Patrick Mahomes is very clutch. I mean, did you have that sense all year that they're just living too much on the edge and just things at some point this could happen and then all of a sudden it just came down like an avalanche?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and like football injuries are a part of the game. I think a lot of it came to having to operate on the fly. Even coming into the year, to me, with all the contracts that are coming up, they have 20-plus free agents and, acquiring DeAndre Hopkins and you think about some of the big names that they might be losing, like a Trey Smith or a Nick Bolton or Justin Reed. It felt a little bit like, for this era of Patrick Mahomes, it was last dance. No matter what, you're probably looking at what I consider to be like a soft reset, a soft rebuild for 2025. But they went all in on this year. And I think the Rashee Rice injury really hurt. And it's amazing to me that they were able to get a franchise record 15 wins without him, because I think the whole plan going in was to shift this focus, which had been the case for like 10 years now, of we're going to center our offense around Travis Kelce, and we're this year it's going to be Rashee Rice. You know, and I know there were all those question marks about the off-the-field stuff, whether or not he would get suspended. And it seemed like they were in the clear that he wasn't going to get suspended until the next year, you know, and I think that Kansas City was going to prepare for that going into 25. And he looked fantastic. I mean, he was among the league leaders in receivers through the four games. And he had that freak injury, and that was just like the start of their woes. I mean, they had lost Isaiah Pacheco a few games before, but running backs are running backs. But you talk about losing a Jalen Watson, to me, was a key injury because their depth wasn't as strong in the defensive backs room. You weren't getting Hollywood Brown, who you thought would be like your third or second receiver in that. Xavier Worthy needed time to develop and so on and so forth. And, you know, you think about all those things, and it kind of ruined the plan, and it was a tough pivot. I mean, I think now looking back, kudos to Kansas City for getting all the way to the Super Bowl when the player I think they really wanted to build their offense around was done in week four. So, you know, it's tough. I think they really tried to make some decisions this year that maybe or was out of character for them. You know, the GM, Brett Veach, one of the things he preaches is, you know, we always want to be flexible. And they sacrificed a little bit of that flexibility in the next couple of years because they really wanted to make the three-peat happen. It was your, you know, one chance mm-hmm. in NFL history. A move that stood out that was a little atypical, and granted, you understand it for this caliber of player, but Chris Jones to that massive long-term deal, teetering around 30, has been very atypical of the Chiefs. And, you know, you might say, well, that's Chris Jones. Well, I think there's a case to be made that when the Chiefs just walked away from Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, he was playing the best ball of his NFL career. And so they went for it, and it, you know, it came this close, but that ultimate dud in the Super Bowl kind of ruins all those efforts, which is tough. I mean, that's something I've been telling fans that it's a tough thing to swallow, and I know no one in Buffalo is going to feel bad for them. Trust me, I understand. But it's like they went after it, and you probably are not going to get another shot at this. I mean, I think a lot of fans were happy they went all in, but now what does that mean for the future?
Yeah, and listen, I always gave him credit for it. Like, you did have a chance to do something no team has ever done in the history of this league, and why not do it when you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, no doubt about it. Now, Travis Kelce did wind up being, I guess, statistically still the focal point of the offense, you know, and they did it a few different ways. 97 catches, 823 yards, but it clearly, you could see, not the same player he's been. Now a lot is hanging over his possible future. He's going on podcasts, he's talking with his brother. Where do you think this goes? Do you think he's a member of the Chiefs in 2025? How does all this go down?
Yeah, he's a big team guy. I think the comments to me yesterday revealed to me, and maybe not even revealed, maybe it's more confirmed, because I had this inkling going into the game. But it kind of confirmed to me that if the Chiefs were able to do it, he was done. I mean, I think he wanted to be done. I think you saw that in some of the body language after the game. I mean, everyone was down. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you could tell that he was down and, like, bothered by it. Because in covering him, I've covered him his whole career. I got here in 14, so pretty much at the same time that he came onto the scene. He is, like, a competitive madman, you know, for all the you know, quips and stuff that gets said to him now that he's, like, dating Taylor Swift and trying to develop acting. And you mentioned the podcast. I mean, on the field, he is someone who just wants to be there for his team and in times will his team to win. And so this is like the perfect nightmare scenario for Travis Kelce, because I think he's seeing what he left on the football field, cannot be happy about it, both from an individual and a team standpoint. And he's saying to himself, I'd imagine, do I want to go out like this? But the problem with quote unquote not going out like this is, you know, 6 weeks of training camp at a small college in North Kansas City, an Andy Reid training camp, which is among the grueling in the league, 18 more games, 18, you know, more chances for your body to deteriorate because you're already feeling like you're a step slower, 3 to 4 playoff games, and all of that for maybe getting another shot, because, again, I think the Chiefs are going into, like, what will be a soft reset year.
And you have teams like the Bills and the Ravens. And, you know, one of these years, the Chiefs are not going to go to the Super Bowl. And that look is looking to me like next year might be the best chance for that. And so I think he's trying to process all of that and wondering if it's worth it. And so I think that's what you're getting. Like, everyone's looking for an answer from people that are on the beat. And I really think he doesn't know. But if I had to go one way or the other based on, you know, all the things that I just said, I tend to think he'll call it here. You know, and it's unfortunate for him. I think he really wanted to have the team win this game and really felt like he was able to go out doing something, you know, as an exclamation point that no team had ever done.
As we're talking here, very oddly, the New York Jets have just tweeted out from their own Twitter account, "We have informed Aaron Rodgers that we will be moving in a different direction at quarterback." I don't think I've ever seen a team do that before. It's a little weird. Isn't that weird?
That is odd.
That's kind of weird.
A little bit there. I feel like the Jets are an odd team with media interacting just in general. And I imagine they're trying to get ahead of Aaron Rodgers and whatever he's going to say in his own right. I mean, that'd be my only guess. But good to have that team in your division, everybody listening.
Yeah.
That is a terrible organization right now, for sure.
We'll see where they go with Aaron Glenn as head coach. Pete Sweeney joining me here on the Western Hotline. Real good discussion on the Chiefs. Okay, well, look, in Buffalo, a lot of people thought 2024 was their reset year. And look what happened. They got all the way to the AFC Championship game, you know, even despite some of the changes and the mass exodus they had. It reminded me of the Chiefs a few years ago when they actually kind of did the same thing and Tyreek Hill was gone and then they had their defense step up. But now you do have some other players that you have to make decisions on. What you mentioned, some of them: Justin Reed, Nick Bolton. Like, where are the real big questions, and what winds up happening here? Give us a couple of the big time guys that they're faced with question marks.
Well, I think I'll just say I think the organization would ideally like to keep Trey Smith if they could, but I just think with all the positions and spots that they have to address, I just don't think it's going to be possible, because I think there's a lot of teams that want him to shore up their offensive line. And when you're signing your first contract in the NFL, remember, he was a sixth rounder, because if you remember in the draft process, he had like heart palpitations or something, and it made him fall all the way to the sixth round, and the Chiefs got in there. And you know, as it played out, that thing that dinged him from a first or second rounder was never an issue. And so now he has a chance, after making $5 million throughout his career, to really have a payday. So I don't think anyone's going to blame him here in Kansas City if he goes and chases that, but I think it's going to price him out. I think the other two players the Chiefs are interested in potentially keeping are Nick Bolton, who has been the green dot guy for them. I think that's going to be expensive too, when you think about franchise tag and so on and so forth. But I think that could reasonably be more affordable, because Bolton has faced some injuries, and I don't think his production has necessarily been there, you know, where he would want in a contract year. I wonder if that could be a 1-year, 2-year deal where he, you know, he really tries to stay healthy and then hits the market again, or they come together and get something fair in front of him, and he's happy with it, and you know, they continue on. I think the Hollywood Brown is back for another 1 year, like that one thing I was just talking about, almost like a makeup 1-year deal where he'll serve the Chiefs as their third receiver. You know, I think Malcolm Brown as a third receiver is pretty good, but you're still talking about, you know, you're losing Smith, like I just described. I think they move on from Justin Reed with eyes on elevating Brian Cook and Jaden Hicks to that role, who are good players, good young players, but again, not as established, not as experienced as Justin Reed. I think the offensive line is a mess. I think a lot of people look at Kansas City and they're like, well, why didn't they get a left tackle? Well, I mean, you're picking 28 to 32 for years and years and years. This is what is by design in the NFL. I mean, you're supposed to have the best teams draw weaknesses, you know, and I think at a certain point, these guys that they're interested in the first round, okay, no doubt day one left tackle on Amarius Mims and Anton Harrison. They just get picked before the Chiefs are even up, and the free agency hasn't necessarily been good. I know that Ronnie Staley might be out there. But again, I think it's a lot of problems with not necessarily like slam dunk solutions, and the cap is there because they want parity in the NFL. The draft order is there for that reason, and I think you're kind of seeing it entering this offseason. But as you know, just one caveat or rebuttal in this, and it was to your point about the Buffalo Bills. When you have a quarterback that's top five in the NFL, it may not matter as much. I think Pat Mahomes has to reinvent himself a little bit by working a little bit more in the intermediate. But this guy is like Allen. You know, they're friends off the field. They're gung-ho about their craft and reestablishing themselves and so on and so forth. So I expect Mahomes to be better in 25 than he was in 24, but at the same time, there are a lot of question marks that the Chiefs have to figure out.
The one area it did matter for him, though, was getting beat up and sacked and the offensive line, the protection. We saw that, obviously, in the Super Bowl. And while the Bills couldn't get to him, and they just don't seem to be able to in the playoffs, the Eagles obviously did. But you just said something really interesting, which is, hey, look, I mean, the resources might not be there, but boy, isn't that where they have to kind of concentrate their resources to make sure they can keep Patrick Mahomes upright? And if they do that, that's taking away from adding to other parts of the team.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, I think they drafted Kingsley Suamataia, who was a mess at left tackle, and they had to replace him. But word is that they like him as a guard. So maybe he slides into right guard. And now you're just looking at left tackle. You finally, you got your right guard now on a rookie deal. Hopefully that works out. I mean, it'll be a position switch, but he seems to be in good standing with the Chiefs when it comes to being a guard. And then you may have to say goodbye to a Nick Bolton and lean into Drew Tranquil as your green dot who did it last year for a series of games while Bolton was injured. Play a little bit more of Leo Chanel, who's become a really good player for Kansas City. And like, you take that money and you give it to a guy, that you need to shore up that position. And, you know, sometimes you just need to spend the money elsewhere and you go and do it. It's just, you know, when you talk about what's out there, it's just not a scenario where left tackles that are going to be your solution come up often. And I think the philosophical problem for Kansas City right now is, well, they're to a point, you know, you can make a case, well, they're to a point where they need to trade up and go get a left tackle. Okay, you do that. What are you sending? I mean, they're picking at 31. So you're sending a first this year, or 31, maybe your first next year, maybe a third. The problem is they have so many things to address in terms of different positions. Like we just talked about it. Tight end is suddenly a huge need. You know, the best teams in the NFL have these great tight ends. You might be without one now. Like, that's just one example of the many areas they need to spend this money. And so it's like, how could you use multiple draft picks to go address one position when you have so many needs and not a lot of money? And so it's a grand predicament. And I think in the off seasons in recent years, since this whole thing started, where they won that first Super Bowl in 2019, I find this one to be the most interesting because I think there's a lot of problems that don't feel like they have obvious answers.
Good stuff, Pete. Really, I appreciate it, man. We'll be on the Billy Donovan watch now that you put his name in my ear, by the way.
Yeah, please.
How do you get him?
As far and wide as you possibly could. I would appreciate that.
As much as I love Hop, by the way, and I was there, I went to school when Hop played. I think they need to go outside the family. You know what I mean? As your suggestion with Billy is, I think it's just, and as much as they love GMAC, right? I mean, it's not something you do right now, but I think you got to go outside the family for once, because I think that's kind of been the issue with Syracuse basketball after what Jim Boeheim did by staying too long, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think everyone would welcome that. I really do. I think it's at a point where sometimes, in a sense, you got to break tradition. I mean, they already did that with the zone, you know, to an extent, and I think that would be welcomed. I mentioned Hopkins because, I mean, it's just a Syracuse way to not go outside of the family. So
that's
if you're,
right,
you're having to keep it in, I would, I'd like to see Hopkins get a shot. But yeah, I'm all for it. I think change is necessary, and so I'm hoping we're talking about with a recruiting class, a team that's a tournament team next year.
All right, make sure Soren buys you dinner next time you're on, okay? Just make sure tell him I told you that, all right? All right, buddy. Pete, thanks. This was really good. I hope to do it again sometime soon, okay?
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, you got it. That is Pete Sweeney, and he is covering the Kansas City Chiefs, the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. You can follow him, and you can find him, Sports Radio 810, as well as other places, KSHB TV 41 as well. Does a great job covering that. That was a really good conversation. I enjoyed that. Very good, realistic outlook on the Kansas City Chiefs. What about another team in the AFC that has a lot of storylines, has a lot of talent, but what is happening with that talent? The Cincinnati Bengals. Our guy, Joe Goodberry, is going to join me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point. All right. Still have some time to go here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We just wrapped up a fantastic conversation. I really loved that with Pete Sweeney of Arrowhead Pride out in Kansas City. Very, very realistic, logical, down to earth. And you know what? Makes you feel good. If you're a Bills fan, you're sitting there going, wait a minute. Okay, we got this guy who covers the Chiefs and knows he was laying the goods and saying, look, he does not expect them to really be the Super Bowl contending team next year. But they do have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, so anything can happen. But he thinks this is more of a soft reset year for the Kansas City Chiefs. In the meantime, you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who, of course, didn't achieve their goals this year, did not wind up making the playoffs after a late-season run. We thought thought they possibly could. Joe Burrow had fantastic numbers, MVP type of numbers. Didn't obviously get into that conversation because the team didn't get to the playoffs, but now they are faced with some really interesting questions this offseason. Our guy Joe Goodberry is going to join me right now on the Western Hotline. Always love hearing from Joe and his perspective on the Bengals. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. I just had a guy on from Kansas City, Pete Sweeney, covers the Chiefs, did a really good job. And I asked him, like, what life is like in Kansas City, you know, after losing the Super Bowl. And I know that the team you follow and cover was there a few years ago. We've been there many, many years ago and haven't quite gotten there. But even for a team, the Kansas City Chiefs, he said, that, you know, has won back-to-back Super Bowls, very, very disappointing, walking off the field and not achieving their goals. And I can imagine. How did you take in the game and what you thought about the Chiefs ultimately getting there and then obviously getting blown out the way they did?
I thought it was fantastic from a personal level, from a football fan perspective, you know, forgetting all of this, being trying to be objective for a moment and watching the Chiefs lose that and not able to achieve that three-peat. I don't like the dynasty when it goes for too long. You know, I like the Chiefs when they're 2018, 2019, 20. I'm like, yeah, this is great. They haven't won in a long time. They're finally getting over the hump. Mahomes is so great to watch. Kelsey's the man, you know, and then you fast forward 5 years from there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Please, Eagles, do your worst to them. And they did. And to be honest, from my perspective, the Eagles do a lot of things that I've been preaching about for a long time that I'd love to see the Bengals and other teams do. And so I was rooting actively for the Eagles to finish it off and put a stamp on, hey, look, it works. You can build this way.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Bengals and where they are in this lineage of the AFC, because I think going into next year, they're going to be still one of the more favored teams because of their talent, but that could change in a lot of ways. What are the biggest questions facing the Cincinnati Bengals in the 2025 offseason?
Yeah, they've got a lot of moving parts and a lot of moving pieces, and they have to make decisions. And I think, you know, the obvious ones are the T. Higgins extension, the Jamar Chase extension, the Trey Hendrickson extension. The Bengals want to extend all three of the players. The players publicly have said they all want to be there, and that's what I've heard behind the scenes as well. So just making it happen. If both sides want it to happen, the last hurdle is just making it happen at the end and agreeing to whatever those numbers are at the end, and then seeing how much you have left and what else you can do, because the defense was not good last year. They've dumped a lot of draft picks into the defensive side over the last 4 years, haven't gotten the results. The young players haven't been able to replace some of the veterans they've lost, whether that's Jesse Bates, Von Bell, DJ Reader, and others. And they're left with, okay, can these guys step up? Can they be what we thought they were going to be when we drafted them? Or do we have to go out and spend money again on defensive free agents? I think it's a mix of both. I think there are some guys that can still regain some of the upside you believe they have. And I believe they're going to have to go spend some money on the defensive line, the trenches, and maybe a defensive back in free agency and try and rebuild it that way. And then, of course, as we've been talking about for probably 8-plus years, they have to figure out the guard position, and that's probably through free agency and the draft. So they've got a lot of money to spend, and they got to figure out how to spend it.
All right, let's take these a couple of individually. Let's go with T. Higgins first. I mean, how does this ultimately play out I know that Joe Burrow has been, you know, very vocal about keeping him, as you would expect, and Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. We also know, and Joe, you know, this isn't a shot at the Bengals, but there's a reputation that people say that they just don't pay their players like a lot of teams around the league do. And yes, they have paid Burrow, and we'll see. So, you know, what winds up happening here? Does it get to, how contentious does it get?
So the real issue with the Bengals, and it is true, when they say they don't pay them, what it really is they will not guarantee money past the first year. They just are fundamentally mm-hmm. against it. So the agents, you know, that want big guarantees, they're not going to get it from Cincinnati. So you will hear that they won't spend money. And that is partially true, but the truth is that it comes down to the guarantees. And his former agent, David Mulligetta, is known right now as one of the best agents in the league and gets the maximum guaranteed money. Well, he fired him and went with Ja'Marr Chase's agent. And the reasons behind the scenes is that because he said, I don't need the most guaranteed money. We should have gotten this deal done already if we weren't hung up on the guaranteed money. And let me tell you, that is music to the Bengals' ears. And that's why there's renewed hope that this deal will get done. Now, I think the big challenge right now, and you're going to hear these reports all up through the combine when everyone gets together and then to the first day of free agency, is that T. Higgins could get $28 million, T. Higgins could get $30 million, T. Higgins could get $33 million in free agency. And that is going to put a little bit of a dent in the negotiations, because I'm sure the Bengals would rather pay him $27, $28 million rather than that $32, $33 that gets floated out there. So how do you come to an agreement if T's willing to say, I don't need the guarantees every year, I will bet on myself, I want to stay with this trio on offense? Well, then I think the number probably is 28 or so. Here's the thing. The Bengals could. So if those numbers are true, 30 to 32, and he should go take and get his maximum, which I wouldn't blame him for at all. Every player should go maximize what they can get out there. The Bengals can tag him for the second straight year, and it would only be $26.2 million against the cap. So that's the leverage play for Cincinnati. They say, hey, listen, we know you could go get that. We know we're offering you 28, which is less than what these other teams are doing or potentially could do if you hit free agency. We will tag you if we have to. So do you want the $26.2 million one-year tag, or do you want to take this $35 million signing bonus? Because the Bengals will give big signing bonuses and make your $26 million plus, you know, your $35 million in signing bonus. You'll make more this year if you sign the contract, have a 3 or 4 year deal in Cincinnati. Yes, it won't be per year as much as you can get out there, but you'll make more now. Or we can just tag you and you make even less. And I think that's probably why it'll go back and forth right until the first day of free agency or whenever the deadline is that they have to tag him.
Ja'Marr Chase going into the fifth-year option. So his last year of his contract guaranteed close to $22 million. Now, you're talking about T. Higgins and that kind of money. Boy, how do you make it happen with both these guys? Because he would command more. He's a better player, but he's also a guy you don't want to lose either.
So the best part about this is that his cap hit would go down considerably if you extend him. It's very similar to Justin Jefferson, who was on his fifth-year option last year. It was like $21 million. His cap hit last year was just $8 million because you're going to give him a big signing bonus, and that'll be the upfront money, and you can push the cap hits to future years. The Bengals will likely follow this method as well. So you reduce his cap hit from $22 million down to $8 million, $9, maybe $10, whatever, however they want to distribute it. And that should give you enough pocket change to either throw that at, you know, you want to throw $10 million extra at T. Higgins or Trey Hendrickson when we get to that conversation. You know, it'd be an easy bump for him in his payday. So I think the framework was there. They got to 11:58 on the clock for signing Ja'Marr Chase last year. From what I understand, there were some communication issues at the end of, well, I thought this guarantee was going to be active completely, fully guaranteed, not a rolling guarantee, not an option bonus, not a roster bonus. And they got right to the end agreeing on every dollar, but when they would hit was a disagreement. Again, guaranteed money, big thorn for the Bengals always. And when it happens and how it happens and how much is practically guaranteed versus actually guaranteed. And they both decided just, all right, we're not going to talk about it. We'll do this next year. And Ja'Marr went out and had a triple crown year and probably made himself even more money. I think that deal gets done. Does that mean it happens before free agency or does it happen in the summer? I think either way, it eventually happens.
Yeah, I'm not comparing the two players, how well they are at their position, but the same thing I've said about Greg Rousseau here, which is of all the guys, there's like five guys coming up on the final year of their deal in Buffalo. And actually, Greg Rousseau might be the easiest to get done because the fifth-year option, actually, you're under contract and allows you to extend out and lower the cap. So in a weird way, even though he's already scheduled for maybe a number you're not totally comfortable with, you can actually use that to your advantage to work it where the other guys aren't even signed yet. So it's a good point on that. Let's go to Trey Hendrickson. What's his situation and where does it go?
So Trey Hendrickson has been extended once already. He signed his original four-year deal in 2021. He's been he's been their best free agent signing of all time. Four straight Pro Bowls, an All-Pro, first-team All-Pro this year, and a finalist. He came in second for Defensive Player of the Year. He's great. This is his age 29 season, so he's going into age 30 season in the last year of his deal. Now, again, he held out last year sort of however you want to call it. He wanted to redo his deal last year, but it would have been 2 years in a row, and you have to wait one calendar year in order to increase the money going to him, so it never happened. He requested a trade, but had to rescind it because I don't think he realized that in his agency. Didn't realize that you had to wait one full calendar year. Anyway, he wants a new deal, and they want to pay him, and they're supposed to be meeting this week, so hopefully we hear some news very shortly. They need to decide, and I think both sides need to decide, how much more is that now? For your age 30, 31, 32, maybe it's a three-year extension, right? Those numbers tend to fall off a little bit. He's still going to be very, very good if he follows the same trend that everyone does. I've looked at the data, and it goes, okay, he'll still be pretty good for the next 2 years at least. And then if he falls off a cliff for the third year. But it really comes down to how much does he want. He's scheduled to count against the cap for over $21 million, but his cash that they're paying him is only $16 million this year. So you could really bump that up to $26-27 million. It'd be a nice raise for him, but you don't have to make him a top 3, 4, or 5 paid defensive end because it's a huge raise for him. You have the leverage to keep him for 1 year and make him play under that contract. I don't think the Bengals want to do that. I think the big reason why they started so funky this past year is they thought all these guys would just be happy with their 1 year deals and not being satisfied with their contract and not having the longevity and stability. Well, they get to camp and everyone's mad at each other, and it really put a damper on the start of their season. So I think they want to finish it off. They want to reward their good players, and they want to do it early enough so they know how much money they have for external free agents.
And then finally, Joe, what about Jermaine Pratt and his situation, linebacker who has reportedly requested a trade?
Yeah, Pratt, you know, I want to give him his flowers because he's been one of their most clutch players. He's been one of their best performers in crucial situations. We called him Playoff Pratt. You can look up Pratt on my name on Twitter, and he is always the one making the critical play when they need it. There will be so many times like, man, this defense needs a play right now, and it is Jermaine Pratt. And the playoff game that they won against the Raiders in 2021, the first time in 30 years, he intercepts Derek Carr right at the end of the game and steals that one. He had a great Super Bowl performance. He's come up with big plays against the Steelers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, all these big games you need him to have. So while I want to give him all that, his stiffness, his age, he's only 28, but the way he's declined in the last few years since being paid in 2022 – has been drastic. He went from a guy that was a short tackler with a great tackle radius, could really have that grip strength, bring guys down with one hand, to a guy that is whiffing completely because his agility is completely sapped from him over the last couple of years. Now, his contract, his cash is $5.6 million salary this year. The Bengals can save that if they cut him. They will get that back if they trade him. If somebody out there wants him and wants to throw a 6th or 7th round pick at them and take on that salary, the Bengals will take it. They probably approached Pratt and said, hey, we're going to release you. You know, your play has just declined too much at this point. And the only thing he could do to save his $5.6 million salary was to say, well, then let me see if there's a trade out there to preserve this, because I don't believe he would get that much in free agency. So I think that's the situation there. They're going to look and see if they can get anything. But there's a bunch of guys they have that they can get upwards of, on a conservative level, sale, $85 million in cap space by cutting Jermaine Pratt, Sheldon Rankins, who did nothing for them, they signed last year. Sam Hubbard's been hurt 2 years in a row now, and his play has declined. Alex Kappa, a guard, again, his play is declining. They should, before they even sign these guys and do extensions, be sitting around $85 million on day one of free agency.
Bengals on the Brain with Joe Goodberry. Great stuff. Always love catching up to with you. Thank you so much for this. I know you're a busy man, so really appreciate it. And I'm sure we're going to do it again sometime in this offseason. The Bills and the Bengals do play in 2025, so I'm sure we'll be catching up. Thanks a lot, buddy. People can follow Joe at Joe Goodberry on Twitter. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sal.
You got it. Joe Goodberry does a really good job talking about covering the Bengals. Local guy, too. Lives in Western New York. Bengals are his team. His brother's a big Bills fan. He's talked about that. Pretty interesting. Always love catching up with Joe. Got to take a timeout here. We'll come back. Got to touch on this hockey from last night and into tonight as well. What'd you think of last night, Josh? What'd you think of the game?
I thought it was great. I think the whole idea of the tournament is fantastic, and to know that Gary Bettman said they're going to do it in 2028 for the World Cup of Hockey is just awesome to hear.
Yeah.
Canada is really good.
It was a great announcement. It was every other year, World Cup and Olympics, right? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Every 2 years?
They talked about that, though, in 2016, and then it just didn't happen, yeah. So I'm anxious to see if that actually holds up.
I'm just upset. Why did Rasmus Dahlin not play in overtime last night?
Yeah, I don't know what... I don't understand what their plan is for him. I mean, they're not really...
Weird.
Like, he played 17 minutes of ice time, which is the least amount of any Swedish defenseman, yet he looked like the best defenseman out there. Like, I don't understand what their plan is there. I mean, he decked Connor McDavid in the first period, and he also had a great play on him later in the game. McDavid tries to touch the puck around him, and one-handed, Dahlin knocks the puck out of the air and out of the offensive zone and turns the play the other way. Like, it's just, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. And he saves a goal. Like, he clears it off the goal line, a bouncing puck, and I don't get it. But Canada looked insanely good.
Canada 4-3 win in overtime last night. The overtime went past the 5 minutes of the normal 3-on-3 like they do in regular NHL games, and we got a goal about maybe a few minutes later, but what a fantastic long 3-on-3 overtime. Tonight, United States against Finland at 8 p.m., that game on ESPN. I'll be back here tomorrow. Sal Mayorana is going to join me tomorrow. Talk about the Bills, and oh yeah, a little bit of baseball. We got baseball happening. Spring training's opening. He's a big Yankee fan, obviously. Pat Hammer tomorrow on winter weather for winter break for all the kiddos who are going to be off next week. One Bills Live at 3 o'clock, but Sabres Live up next on WGR.